rest of the story. When Dave fell and scraped his knee in the stable yard one evening, he was concerned only about his trousers. He just bought them, and now they were torn. The knee was not even bleeding. Mother mended the trousers. The 14-year-old forgot about his knee until the following evening. It was then that Dave, feeling faint, lay down on the front room sofa and slowly drifted into delirium. Dad summoned the family physician. After examining Dave, Dr. Conklin said there was no question the boy had blood poisoning. Now, this was early in our century. Very little a doctor could do for blood poisoning back then. Dr. Conklin would do what he could. The various treatments included painting a belt of carbolic acid around Dave's body. The boy was never left alone. Mother stayed at his bedside all day, and a family friend kept watch all night. Dr. Conklin stopped by two or three times a day to check on his patient, but the physician was running out of treatments and young Dave was running out of time. His leg turned black. It continued to swell until it was as big as the rest of him. He lost consciousness more and more frequently, mercifully so, for the pain was approaching unbearable. And then, about 5 days into Dave's illness, Dr. Conklin spoke with the boy's parents. If their son's life was to be saved, the leg would have to be amputated. Half-conscious, Dave had overheard what the doctor had said. So when the boy's older brother, Ed, got home from school, Dave called him into the bedroom. Dave said, "They want to cut off my leg, but I'd rather be dead than crippled." He said, "Promise me you won't leave me for a minute, no matter what happens. Promise me that you won't let them cut off my leg." As the tears welled up in Dave's eyes, brother Ed said, "I promise." And Dave lapsed into unconsciousness once more. That night, Ed slept on the floor in front of Dave's bedroom so that nobody could enter through the door without his knowledge. The next morning, Ed took his breakfast in Dave's bedroom and announced that he was not going to school. He'd promised his brother he would stay by his side, and he intended to keep that promise. Later that day, Dr. Conklin arrived with a consulting physician from out of town. Both men, frowning, told Ed his brother would die without the necessary surgery. Ed said, "Maybe so, but I love my brother, and I promised." Dave's parents understood somehow. They prayed hard. Brother Ed understood even better. Both boys, passionate about sports, could not conceive of a life on one leg. So Ed stood guard day and night, nursing his brother in whatever way he could, but under no circumstance, near as Dave was to death, would Ed allow doctors to amputate. Of each event subsequent in Dave's life, the world is well informed. What you've just heard, which really happened in Abilene, Kansas in the spring of 1905, in a way was the most important event of all. It was because Brother Ed made and kept a promise that Dave got well and got walking again, eventually to stride across the pages of history. You never knew that Dave switched his first name with his middle name. He made the switch, but his real first name was David. You knew him instead as Dwight David Eisenhower. Only now you know the rest of the story.